Tonight we turn to the book of Isaiah, chapter 41. The verses that I'll read tonight, verses 18 through 29, are verses that feel like a continuous shout to be shouted across the world the whole time you're saying them. There's not a place for a soft word in these verses. They're magnificent, glorious. And when the prophet gets to verse 29, he makes application for the glory of what is said. So we read Isaiah 40, beginning in verse 18. To whom then will ye liken me? Let me start again. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto him? The workman melteth a graven image, and the goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have ye not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in, that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted. Yea, they shall not be sown. Yea, their stock shall not take root in the earth. And he shall also blow upon them, and they shall wither. And the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching his understanding. This is the prophet's application. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. And it is that text, Isaiah 40:29, that I want to draw our attention to tonight. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increased strength. In 1 Kings chapters 18 and 19, we read of Elijah, one of the mighty prophets of the Old Testament. Elijah called Ahab and the people of Israel to Mount Carmel. He set forth a challenge to those who worshipped Baal and those who worshipped Jehovah. And he said, the God who answers by fire, he is God. The prophets of Baal built an altar to Baal. They put their sacrifice on the altar, and they cried to their God from morning till noon. Elijah mocked them. Cry aloud, for he is a God, Elijah mocked. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is on a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth and must needs be awaked. They cried aloud and cut themselves with knives and lances, till the blood gushed out upon them, as even came no voice, no one to answer. For all of their zeal and their effort, there was no answer, nor was there any that did regard all of their crying. And Elijah, along the time of the evening sacrifice, rebuilt the altar to Jehovah. He put the wood in order. He cut the bullock in pieces. He laid him on the wood. He poured water over the sacrifice, over the stones of the altar, and into a trench that had been dug round about the altar. He had water poured over the sacrifice and the altar, not one time, not two times, but three times. It was thoroughly drenched. And Elijah called unto the Lord, and he said, Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back to thee. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. At Elijah's command, the prophets of Baal were taken to the brook Kishon, and all of them were slain. Elijah cast himself down upon the top of Mount Carmel, and he prayed for rain. 3.5 years it had not rained in Israel, and Elijah prayed for rain, and God sent rain. He sent rain in abundance. When Queen Jezebel heard that Elijah had killed the prophets of Baal, she sent a messenger to Elijah, and she said to him, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, one of those prophets, by tomorrow. She threatened Elijah. She was going to have him put to death by the next day. Elijah, this man who had enjoyed such might and power, calling fire down from heaven, the false prophets of the false god had been put to death, threatened by Jezebel, his courage and his strength suddenly failed. He arose and he went for his life. He left Israel for the land of Judah. And then he went a further day's journey off into the wilderness. And he sat down unto a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. Lord, Elijah prayed, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers. He lay and slept. And behold, an angel of the Lord gave him a cake, baked in coals and water. And Elijah laid himself down again. The angel came again the second time. And he said to Elijah, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. This man had known such a mighty opportunity. Who is known in the scriptures for a prophet filled with fire? On other occasion, he called down fire from heaven. A man mighty in power to stand before kings. Now dejected. The Lord sent an angel, a messenger to him, and ministered to his heart. To his body as well. He was fed there in the wilderness twice. He rested. And the angel said, Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. The God that we read of there in Isaiah 40, The prophet says, to whom then will ye liken me? Or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Who is like this God who made the heavens and the earth, who spoke and the stars are in their places? Not one of them faileth, for great is his power. It was this God. He giveth power to the faint, to them that have no might. He increases strength. Elijah could do no more. He's a man of like passions as you and I are. But the living God took interest in this man under a juniper tree. In John chapter 18, we read of Peter. Judas, the one who betrayed the Lord Jesus, he had received a band of men, and he came to the Garden of Eden in Gethsemane. This band of men came with lanterns and torches and weapons. Peter drew his sword and he swiped off Malchus' ear. Peter, the only one to draw his sword, he stood between his Lord and this band of men. At the moment here, he is full of courage. One man with a sword against a band of men who are armed. It was not the right time. It was not the right manner. And the Lord Jesus bid him put up his sword. Malchus' ear was graciously restored by Jesus' touch. The band, the captain, the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him to Ananias and Caiaphas. The high priest, Caiaphas, asked Jesus of his disciples and his doctrine. Peter had followed this band of soldiers and his Lord who had been bound to the palace of the high priest. And as he approached the door, the damsel that kept the door said to Peter, art not thou one of this man's disciples? Peter said, I am not. Just a very short time ago, this band of men, this gathering of soldiers had come. They were going to take his Lord. He drew his sword. He was ready to fight them. And now challenged by a woman. No, I don't know him. Peter's strength is gone. The servants and the officers that stood near here, they had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Peter stood with them. He drew up close to the fire. And one of them said unto him, art not thou one of his disciples? He denied it. He said, I am not. But it was not long after this that the kinsmen of Malchus was the one who had his ear taken off by Peter's sword. His kinsman, relative, cousin, a relative of Malchus, said to Peter, did not I see thee in the garden with him? Peter denied again. The cock crew. And Peter went out and wept. And wept bitterly. And so we read the rest of chapter 18, all of chapters 19 and 20 of the book of John. And the scriptures, how they tell of Jesus suffering at the hands of men, the false accusations that men brought against him, the mock trials, the mockery that they heaped upon him, the beatings and his bloodshedding, his crucifixion. Those chapters relate his burial and the scenes at the tomb. The events surrounding his resurrection are described with vivid, glorious detail. We turn into John chapter 21. We find Peter again. He is with the other disciples. They are eating fish prepared for them by the Lord Jesus on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." Peter turned and he looked at John, one of the other disciples, and he said, "Lord, what shall this man do?" And Jesus said, "What is that to thee? Follow thou me." Peter had denied him. Three times he denied him. Whatever strength, courage, and resolve Peter had, and at that moment in the Garden of Gethsemane, it was a manly courage, misplaced, but a manly courage. Utterly defeated. But the Lord met him personally. The other disciples were there. They were eating fish. And he spoke to Peter. "Peter, follow me." And when Christ's disciples have utterly failed him, as Peter did, when you and I fail him, find ourselves at the weakest point, he draws near and he deals personally. And he says, "You follow me." "Well, what about so-and-so?" "I'm talking to you. It's just between you and me right now. You follow me, Peter. Follow me." "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength." We turn next to 1 Samuel chapter 1. We read of Elkanah. Elkanah was a just man. But Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Penaniah. Penaniah had children, but Hannah had no children. When the time came that Elkanah went to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts, he gave to Penaniah his wife and to her sons and daughters portions. He would give them gifts. It was a time of celebration. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah. But the Lord had shut up her womb, and her adversary provoked her. The other wife provoked her. "You don't have children," was the provocation. The other wife provoked Hannah to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up Hannah's womb. As Elkanah went up to the place of worship year by year, Penaniah provoked Hannah. Therefore, Hannah wept and did not eat. It's worth noting that this was something that happened for some time as they went up to the place of worship year by year. This had been going on. This provocation by the part of this other wife continued one year after another, and throughout the year, this was a sore place that was brought to bear upon this woman. And she wept and did not eat. The day came when Elkanah said to Hannah, "Why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? Am not I better to thee than 10 sons?" Eli, the priest, sat upon a seat by the post of the temple. Hannah rose up from having been with her husband, and she went to the temple of the Lord in bitterness of soul, and she prayed unto the Lord, and she wept sore. She poured out her heart unto the Lord, and she prayed, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me, wilt thou give thine handmaid a man-child? Then I will give unto thine handmaid a man-child. Then I will give him unto the Lord. Lord, give me a child, and I will give him back to you." Eli was sitting, and he observed this woman who was pouring out her heart before the Lord, and he marked her mouth. Hannah spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said to her, how long wilt thou be drunken? And she protested, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. The woman's heart was broken. She was misunderstood. But Eli softened, and he said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition. There was a servant of the Lord here on this occasion who came. And though at first he misunderstood this woman's circumstance, the Lord sent this one to encourage her and to strengthen her heart. It was less than a year later she had a child. We know him as Samuel from the Scriptures. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 29, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. The prophet wrote, he wrote concerning the living God, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One. Who is there like me? Where will you find anyone like the Holy One of Israel? Where in all of the world, all of creation, all of the studies that men can do, where will you find another one like the Holy One? There is none. There is nowhere to look. There's no one that can find any like him. He has put the stars in their places. He has made all things as they are. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. In Acts chapter 4, verse 14. Peter is preaching to a great and assembled host on this occasion. He says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a malefactor to be granted unto you. Peter said, you have rejected the Holy One, Jesus Christ, and you preferred to have Barnabas released and Jesus Christ crucified. You rejected the Holy One, the one who has power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. You have rejected this one. How do you reject this one? Where else do you look? Where else can you find such a one as this Jesus Christ? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Where else can we learn of this one, this Holy One of God? Other than the Word of God, other than the words of God, other than the Scriptures and the Bible, and where He's made known to us in His glory, and the marvels of His person, and the holiness of His person, and the might of His power. Faith to believe that this one gives power to the faint, that this Holy One gives to them that have no might, gives to them and increases strength. The writer of Hebrews said, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The Holy One said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He that giveth power to the faint said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that, for the purpose being, for the reason, so that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do to me.
hath power to the faint. To them that have no might, he increases strength. To whom then will you liken me? Or who shall I be equal? Saith the Holy One. There is none else. But God's people call upon him. Elijah in his dejection. Peter in his failure. Hannah in her grief. And he gave power to the faint. Those needed strength. They find it at his hand. Our Father in heaven, draw us nigh. Draw us nigh into the person of Jesus Christ.